open up blinded eyes. You're going to see folk walking in the Spirit, talking in the Spirit, moving in the Spirit. You're going to see folk who just really love the Lord. But God sent me by, I can't get out of this thing. God sent me by to let you know that He is. He's everything and more. God sent me by to let you know you can't explain Him to anybody. God sent me by to let you know that if you are faithful and just, you can proclaim it. And God said, don't use my word unless you really mean it. Don't you say to somebody, if God be for me, who can be against me? Before you use that word, you have to be prepared to go through a storm, because the enemy is going to come. You don't have to worry about whether the devil is coming. He is going to come, because he brings what? Offenses. And offenses are going to come. But God said in His word, so you have the confidence to know that whatever God has said, that's it, baby. I don't care what the doctors say. When God says, that's it. I don't care what the lawyers say. I do not care what the banker say. I have no, it doesn't matter to me about what the counsel say. It has nothing to do with what they say. I need you to know, you need to find out what God has said, and remember that if He said it in your good times, whatever He said in your good time, He has said it in your bad time. Know the Lord. Know Jesus Christ. Come on, the Bible says, know Jesus. Know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And when you do that, you'll stop foolishness in the church. Oh, I need some help. I'm about to get somebody upset. I say, when you start to know Jesus for who He is, what He went through, what He stood for, why He's gone, where He is, and what He is doing, you wouldn't come to the choir rehearsal with foolishness, baby. If you know who God was, you wouldn't come into the house of God looking any kind of way and come like you come into church. You'll start coming to be the church and stop coming to be in church. Because when you find out what the Holy Spirit is doing, that He's controlling your tongue, that He's enabling you to sing with grace, He's enabling you, come on, somebody. When you know what the Holy Ghost is doing, He is the one that when you pray to Him, you told God, say, send the spirit of adoption and the same child that you were praying for. But all of a sudden He comes to Christ and says, look, what must I do? When you keep praying and bowing down on your knee, don't you know God's going to hear your prayer if you have a relationship, and He's going to honor your prayer, bring that thing to pass, because God is familiar with bringing invisible things, my goodness, into visibility. It was the same God that spoke and the stars came into visibility. If God can bring the stars and the moon, if God can bring the water, the animals, make man and make woman, if God, come on somebody, if God can do all of that, what in the world makes you think that God cannot handle what you have? What makes you think that God cannot answer your prayer? What makes you think that God will forget and forsake you? What makes you think, my goodness, I need somebody to help me here, because God sent me by. I'm at the end of this broadcast, hadn't said a word that I thought I was going to say, but I'm so glad that I was a Holy Ghost. I'm so glad, I don't care what your pastor said, I'm glad that there was a Holy Spirit who's orchestrating and directing this earth right now. I'm glad that Jesus came and died on Calvary's hill and was resurrected on the third day. I'm glad that He was received by His daddy in heaven, and He went and prepared a place for me. He prepared a heavenly place for me. Well, I need somebody to know God is. Yes, He is. And I want to thank Him for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, for this day, I said in the name of Jesus, for this day, God, somebody received the word of deliverance on this day. Somebody heard something that now they can go back home with a little bit of dignity, with a little bit more integrity. Somebody heard a word that they can go back and say, look, if God be for me, who can be against me? Somebody heard a word that encouraged them in the middle of that storm, the loss of their loved one. Somebody heard a word that even though they haven't gone through a storm, but they've already said, look, when I go through, I'm going to pray and talk to God now. Before, and if I go through, I'm going to be ready to do it according to the master. I want to be made fit for the master's use. God, we thank and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Well, saints of God, our time is up. This has been Pastor Charles Simon of New Life Christian Fellowship Ministries of Alexandria, Louisiana, located at 4521 Lee Street Extension. Thank you for listening, and if you want a copy of this message, or if you want to support this ministry with a tax-deductible contribution, write us at Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Again, that's Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. And if you need prayer, call us at 318-715-8920. 318-715-8920. Be blessed of the Lord, for God is still on the throne.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all
right. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
We come from this far back.
God says in his word, Romans 13:7, that we as Christians must give honor to whom honor is due. In January 2014, we, the ministry staff and co-laborers in the gospel, will honor our man of God, Dr. John Montgomery.
You recognize that if you're going to deal, dwell, or be anywhere God is, you're going to be required to change your life.
In recognition of his 25th year of pastoral service, ministry, and leadership at our church, community, his city, state, and nation. Dr. Montgomery's silver anniversary will be celebrated the entire month of January. This month-long celebration will culminate on Monday, January 24th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Greater King David Baptist Church Multicultural and Educational Center, 222 Blount Road, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Montgomery has truly been a blessing to so many near and far. Join us in exhibiting grand love and support for our great and deserving leader. Your words of kindness, fellowship, and gifts of love will be appreciated. No gift is too small, and certainly no gift is too large. We pray multitudinous returns on your gift. Please send all gifts to Dr. John Montgomery, care of Reverend Daniel Smith, 911 Lodell Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Make all checks payable to Dr. John Montgomery. For additional information on exciting events for Dr. Montgomery, phone 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577.
We come from this far back.
Lean on
the Lord.
You'll stand to your feet with your Bibles. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity this morning to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost take the text and unfold it and disclose it before us in our hearing and understanding. Give us power to practice these principles and give you all the praise, for you are worthy as you profit us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And recorded are these words. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Jesus born to save his people. Jesus born to save his people. There are many things that can be said about this particular verse, especially as it refers to the role of Jesus as a Savior and then the ownership connected in the word his, because this word his takes on a larger context and greater perspective. Originally, he came for the Jews. His people, people that he was akin to, his nationality. But something happened along the way. He went to his own, and his own received him not. And so his people then became extended to whosoever will. And so while he knew that it in terms would be whosoever will, all people, it originally started out with his own nationality. And may I say to you, my brothers and sisters, that's good news. Because what the devil meant for evil, God turned it around and opened that door, so that all of us might experience this good. Somebody ought to say, thank God for Jesus. Amen. The story goes in the 18th verse about Jesus beginning and all that he had come to do in a very strange and unusual way, but it sets up for prophecy to be fulfilled. Joseph was espoused to Mary, or Mary espoused to Joseph. They were engaged. But before the marriage ceremony and before Joseph knew Mary, they discovered that she was pregnant. Now, I don't care how holy you are, this presents a problem. Minimally, it's twofold. First of all, because she's engaged to Joseph, they're going to think it's Joseph's baby. Yeah. And secondly of all, it tarnishes his good reputation. All the life of Jesus is clouded by the thought that he was an illegitimate child. Folk won't let you forget years later what they think they got on you. And later in scripture, you hear this brought up and you hear this and understand that they knew Mary and Joseph, thus referring to, again, this situation, and didn't accept Jesus when Jesus said he was the bread that came down from heaven. They say, isn't this Mary and Joseph, boy? They wanted to say the one that was born out of wedlock. You know how folk are. They talk with that ism and schism, and the inference is there in your windows, etc. But the story goes on, and it says, while Joseph pondered these things in his heart, he fell asleep, and God dealt with him in a dream. It's amazing what God can use to reach you. It's amazing how many forms God can show up in. It's amazing of the things God can use for his desire to meet us right where we are and take us to a whole nother place. Joseph is there asleep, and the angel of the Lord comes to him and tells him, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For this thing that's done of her is done of the Holy Ghost. Now listen to that, the angel of the Lord speaking to Joseph and giving him clear understanding, because he thought about putting her away privately, because the record was he was a just man. You know, some folk would have been like, no, I'm going to clear my name. I'm going to let them know it ain't mine. And he had every right under the Mosaic law to divorce her, which was crazy in our Western mindset, because how can you divorce somebody you just engaged to? But they took marriage so serious that when one was espoused to the other, it was as law binding, it was as real as the actual marriage ceremony. They went through the legalistic part of the marriage in the espousal part. So that meant when they were engaged according to law, they were just as married as they would have been on the day of the marriage celebration. So that meant if anything went wrong, even though the marriage celebration hadn't taken place, they still would have to get a divorce. And so he thought about how to put her away, but he being a just man, did not want to make a spectacle of the situation. And doesn't God know how to show up and give you peace that passeth all understanding? And he deals with Joseph, and then he gets to verse 21. He says, and she shall bring forth a son. Well, let me just lay it out how the angel might have been in the dream talking to Joseph and making it clear. He says, listen, Mary, and she shall bring forth a son. And thou shall call his name Jesus. And Jesus shall save his people from their sins. Well, when you begin to look at this, you begin to understand first that it is a sure prophecy. Sure prophecy, because the angel says, and she shall bring forth a son. Isaiah had prophesied that a virgin would be with a child and bring forth a son. And the angel is just confirming this prophecy. And so one of the things that you recognize is that it's a sure prophecy because, one, it is God's word. It's God's word. God spoke that already. It's God's word. So if it's God's word, listen, God has the power to back up his word. When he speaks it, the spirit, the zeal of God performs it. So it was a sure prophecy because God said it. But not only was it God's word, but it was God's will. Because God sought even before time to put a redemptive measure in place. Matter of fact, Jesus was going to be that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It was God's will to put in a makeup even before the mess up. He knew everything from the beginning to the end. And as it was God's will, he made sure that everything that would happen according to his will. But not only was it God's word and God's will, it was also God's way. Because one of the things you're going to understand about God is that if it doesn't happen the way God wants it to happen, he doesn't have to put his stamp of approval on it. See, we ought to be concerned about doing things God's way. Jesus said, I do always those things which pleases my Father. We've got to learn that God's way is the highway. God's way is the best way. And for true believers, God's way is the only way. And so it was a sure prophecy because of these three things. But not only was it a sure prophecy, it was a specific person. He says, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's specific. Listen, it's specific because, one, it was God's son. Jesus himself was the only one worthy to come and be for man what man could not be for himself. God's son, holy and righteous and pure was Jesus and Jesus alone. And so he, the specific person, Jesus, was the only one who was capable of bringing redemption to mankind. Not only was he God's son, but he was God's surety. And by surety, he was God's guarantee. You see, God had already searched the world, searched the earth, searched heaven, searched hell, searched earth, and could not find one worthy. No one who could guarantee the redemption of man, the salvation of man. There was none that could do it until Jesus spoke up. And he knew that if Jesus would do it, it would be done. And so he was the surety that God needed to bring man back into a right relationship with him. Listen at this now. He's God's son. He's God's surety, but he's also God sent. John said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent him to save us. God sent him to bring us back home. God sent him with a redemptive plan that the devil in hell couldn't do nothing about. God sent Jesus to bring John. God sent Jesus to bring Shirley. God sent Jesus to bring whatever your name is back to him so that we would know what life everlasting was all about. Not only do we see this as a specific purpose, a person rather, but we also see lastly that a salvation was provided. And this salvation was provided through a Savior. See, you really can't have salvation without a Savior. And this Savior was to do at least three things. The first thing was he was to seek the lost. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which were lost. A Savior needs to be a seeker. And seeking suggests not stopping the search till you find. You see, one of the things that I love about Jesus is that he never stopped looking for me till he found me. Never stopped looking for you till he found you. And he's not coming back till he has found everyone who will receive him and accept him as Savior of their lives. And when he has been lifted up and presented to all mankind and given everyone a chance, then he's coming back and rapturing up his church. So Jesus, as a Savior who brought salvation, came seeking us. Can I tell you, you got to be a seeker to be a saver, because some folk don't want to be found. Matter of fact, the Bible says, man rather, he, one translation says, loved darkness more than life because his deeds were evil. Some folk don't want to be found. You know, party just got started. You ain't trying to go home now. You just got where you can do what you do. Boo. And he comes, you're like, no, Jesus, I'm too young. It amazed me how so many folk, church folk, tried to tell me when I was a young boy that I had my whole life ahead of me. Why don't I wait a little while, live a little while before I started preaching? I've got my whole life ahead of me. But I was chosen. And I answered the call because I had no other choice. And so at 13, when I answered the call, and 14, preached my first message, I've been preaching ever since, because he stirred something on the inside of me that made me realize that my life's purpose was to lift Jesus up. No man knows the day nor the hour when he shall return. No man knows the day nor the hour when he shall be called from this earth. So we don't have time like we think we've got time. And whatever time we got, it's right now. So we have a Savior who seeks, searches, look between the cracks and crevices, behind closed doors, underneath covers, in the darkness of the black night. He searches with a light that darkness cannot comprehend. He searches in the morning, and then he searches in the midnight hours, because sometimes the freaks don't come out till midnight. Yeah, y'all can sit here and act holier than thou. But he knows that if he's going to save, he's got to go where the sinners are. See, too many of us want to save folk in church. But you got to get out of church and go to where the sinners who are unrepentant are and preach Jesus, witness about Jesus where the sinners are. And so he's a seeker. But when you begin to look at this as a Savior provided, it's important to understand Jesus Christ himself shall save his people from their sins. He doesn't just seek them, he saves them. Because you know, some people can look for you, and when they find you, it's almost as if it didn't make a difference from them finding you, because you don't get nothing better after they found you than what you had before they found you. I wish I had a helper in the house. I've been looking for you. What you want? Well, Jesus, listen, has the ability to save whosoever will. He wouldn't be seeking you if he didn't have power to save you. And that's what the sinner needs to understand. No matter how far you have fallen in your sin, Jesus is seeking you because he has power to save you. That's why you need to tell the alcoholic, the drug addict, the sex perverted person that Jesus has more power than the spirit of that thing that is messing your life up to save you. He has power to save you. In other words, when you meet Jesus and you experience Jesus, something about Jesus means that you don't leave Jesus the same way you met him. Listen, demons tremble. Just meet Jesus. It's more than your liver quivering, baby. It's something happening underneath your skin, but it has more to do with the Holy One who's dealing with that unholy spirit that's on the inside of you. And all you've got to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. And that devil has got to get out, because they cannot dwell in the same place. And so the Savior must seek, but he must also save. And then the last thing he must do as a Savior provided is he must satisfy the sinner's debt totally. Satisfy the sinner's debt totally. In other words, if he's going to be a Savior, then he can't be a whole Savior saving half of you. In other words, he can't just save you from your past sins and be a Savior. Because what about your present sins? John picked up the pen and said, if you say you have no sin, somebody lied. So don't act like just because you are saved.